Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, and it is now or never, and it's Feedback Friday. First off, let me just say this. We will, hate to say the ums, we will have Angeline back on Monday, having another interview with her, and we will get that broadcasted on Monday because it's going to be a follow-up to our conversation yesterday. Because as she's starting to explore Republic Review, and she wrote a pretty interesting blog. I need to put that up on the website, as well as we'll find out more about her book. But as that moves forward, I also want to let you know that we're working to bring on a gentleman by the name of Major Jeffrey Prather. I hate to mispronounce names, but in this interview, what we're going to try to do, and I'm waiting to hear back from him, but what we're hoping to do is to be able to kind of create this opportunity for everybody to, you know, look at what he's about, what he's doing, because we'll try to post a couple of his blogs. As I understand it, what ended up happening is I think he was on a particular show, and they removed him for whatever reason. And I don't know if he wants to talk about that, but I've had, and as a matter of fact, my producer has actually said, hey, this guy needs to be on your show because he really is focused on the Constitution, which to me is great. I think that that's really where we need to be, right? So as we hope to kind of prepare, because I usually don't do this, but when it comes to, you know, some people, it's kind of good to get other people's ideas. And when somebody wants to come along and talk about what they're focused, this is what I'm hoping, because as we had Todd Callender on, as we've had other people on, I mean, Harry the Greek, I mean, is, you know, really out there as an investigative reporter trying to bring you the news regarding the elections and all these other things. And I need to circle back around and have Harry the Greek back on. Try to do that before the end of the year. But what we want to do is we want to actually start exposing people to all of the awesome tools within the Constitution. Because I think that as people start understanding this, they may, and as a matter of fact, there's no reason why organizations can't create First Amendment petitions. And if they do, what we want to do is we want to suck them in. So if you have or work with an organization that has First Amendment petitions, as a matter of fact, we had in a meeting with some Georgians on this or earlier this week on Tuesday, it was brought up that there are small groups that kind of do something very similar, and actually it's, I wouldn't even say it's a group. It's kind of like this community, like on social media, because that's where they meet, and they all kind of share these, and they're not petitions per se. They're basically challenges, like, where did you get the authority? So they're really, I don't want to say cutting edge, but they're really trying to cut to the chase. And what we'd love to do is we'd like to kind of look at what they've got, how they're working, because maybe some of this stuff we can actually put into your hands as well. Because, folks, it's about holding our public servants accountable. And, you know, obviously today being the day of news, you know, we'll talk, you know, very specifically about that. But what I want to do is I want to go through at least a rant a little bit on some of my frustrations. And as we know, when we get back on Tuesday, Paul and I will have and we'll start diving into the nullification notes or the notes on nullification by James Madison. So this is where we're going to read exactly what Madison thinks of the idea of single state nullification. Now, there's way too many, quote unquote, conservative groups and groups that consider themselves constitutional. And they're out there telling people they have access to this document. Why is it that they're telling people that Madison, James Madison, is an advocate for single state nullification? Are you kidding me? You're talking, well, we'll read you the words. I'll let you decide for yourself, because that's what the show is about, giving you the information. Don't just take my word for it. There are a lot of good organizations. As a matter of fact, as much as I pick on some of these organizations, it's not like they're not doing good things. They're giving people the opportunity to chew. But my problem is that these organizations are designed to be myopic, and they absolutely are stubborn. They stonewall. They will not unite and work with other people. They won't have collective meetings that meet the demands and the desires and the dynamics of the community. It's their way or the highway, and they're not looking at doing all of these things, such as holding, you know, they don't want to be a part of this movement. Why is that? So that's not it, though. And since I'm here, I might as well just continue on where I'm going, because as I have worked, because it's come up with the Convention of States, and it's been a long history with the John Birch Society, that none of them truly dive into true dialogue and say, you know what? As a matter of fact, I'd be happy. I've been on the record since the very beginning. I would be happy to sit at a table and actually go through in a logical discussion. It doesn't need to be a debate. Let's examine everybody's facts, and then let's put it all on the table. And instead of trying to create a conclusion, if we can't come to a conclusion, then I say let you decide. Let you decide what is the right thing to do, what is going to solve our problems, because we ain't got time to allow a couple of organizations to dictate a binary conversation. It's just that simple, folks, and that's exactly what's happened. These organizations, both of them, are making millions of dollars. And as a matter of fact, it's not, when you look at the anti-conventionites, it's greater than just the John Birch Society. It's what the Eagle Forum. As a matter of fact, the Eagle Forum, if I understand it, is kind of split. The old guard of the Eagle Forum is anti-convention, but the new guard is the, you know, pro-convention. And there's lots of people. I mean, there's lots of people on both sides. And I am here to tell you, folks, they're making a lot of money. Not that that's a bad thing that they're making money, but they're not open to actually accepting what the facts are and, you know, and letting you decide, because what they want to do is they want to maintain this convention or not a convention, or actually now it's become convene a convention or nullify. And both of them are the wrong tactics. The absolutely wrong tactics. So we're going to kind of go through this, and I'm going to be posting my presentation. If it's not by the end of the year, it'll be early next year. I'll have a presentation that I'm going to read through the presentation, so that way you can, while you listen to this, you can actually look. I mean, those of you who are driving, I don't want you to look, of course. I don't want you to have, you know, cause harm or get hurt yourself or, you know, property damage, anything like that. I don't want that. What I want is that you recognize that there's a lot of meat here, and we need to actually start digesting this to go, it isn't a binary conversation. As a matter of fact, I will tell you that there's at least four options on the table when it comes to this government overreach, and three of them will not fix the problem. There's only one direction that will fix the problem, but I will leave that to you. I'm not trying to poison the well, and I think everybody knows where my biases are. My biases are with the framers, not with where the money's at. Because you got to remember, the framers did not do anything. Well, there were a few people maybe, but that I know of, the actual framers, they all died destitute. Nobody got rich off of what they did. Some of these men may have been rich, but most of those who were rich either died bankrupt or, you know, went bankrupt. Thomas Jefferson died bankrupt. The day he died, they foreclosed on him. When we look at James Madison, in his older years and getting his notes on the Constitutional Convention that he actually published, he thought that was going to bring Dolly Madison money, and it didn't help hardly at all. So when we really look at, you know, our aspirations, our desires, what we should be doing and so forth, I'm just hoping everybody realizes that, you know, there's a problem, and we have to have, and let's look at the empirical data. The framers gave us all the information necessary, and they made decisions. There was obviously resistance, as we talked about with the resolutions. The big government Federalists, they absolutely wanted to change. We even proved in my last, or with Paul and I, in our last dialogue with the John G. Jackson letter, we proved to you that, because Madison was aware, and he mentioned that there was this secret effort in trying to move America and our government more towards a monarchy or aristocracy, or at least something with those predilections, is the word he used. Folks, come on. We're going through the exact same stuff today, but the difference is those people knew what to do far more than we today, because we haven't been educated on these things. And now, as long as we're not educated, we can be misled down all of these different paths. Are you kidding me? So as I've been reaching out with these different organizations, and again, I don't want to pick on the John Birch Society. I think that they have tried to do good things. I think the people that are involved in the John Birch Society, and this really goes, that kind of helps talk about organizational leadership and organizational management. I have talked about this before, but what's the difference between a manager and a leader? A manager does the right thing. In other words, the corporation wants you to do this, and that's what you do. And so that's what that manager does. And a leader with a corporation says, well, we want you to do this, and go, hold on here. This really has merit. We should be doing something differently. And a leader will actually do the right thing and maybe jeopardize. A leader will stand up and jeopardize their position. If they're a true leader, they will stand on principles. And history is filled with true leaders standing on principles. If it actually successfully aligns with the core values that are shared by all humanity, then you're not going wrong. And when it comes down to preserving liberty and life, which is a shared value for our society here in America, what is going to do that? Just because we're an institution, we provide you this marginal education, and we're going to give you bad recommendations. That's what all of these organizations are doing. They're conservative. Yeah, these are good people, and they have no idea. They have no idea, really, you know, the bigger picture. Most people, you know, as a matter of fact, some people take exception when all of a sudden I give somebody a hard time. Like Chris Ann Hall apparently always rails on, you know, we're a constitutional republic. And I try to tell people that marginalizes our government, because China, Britain, and almost every government today is a constitutional republic. So what's the big difference with ours? With ours, we are not a constitutional republic. We're a hybrid constitutional republic. So when we look at all of these other republics, every republic in the world is a federation except ours. We're not a federation. We're a confederation. And so I just want you to understand that there's this huge divide. There's this huge separation in understanding the bigger picture, because as we go through all of this information to see, you know, how intricate our, you know, this government isn't that difficult. It's not rocket science, but it's something that we have not taught, and it's what most people completely lose sight of. This is a self-government. When you hear, it's just like, because I get challenged on this, and I try to explain to people, we are not a nation designed on the doctrine of the lesser magistrate or the doctrine of magistrates, period. The doctrine of magistrates is a top-down structure of government. Ah, we are a bottom-up. We the people institute government, right? I mean, that's our core. That's right there in the Declaration of Independence. It's a core principle. We institute government. And the government that we institute isn't the federal government. It isn't the state government. The governments we institute is the county government, which is the bedrock of this hybrid constitutional republic. So as I go through these facts, and I can prove all of these things, it's about using facts. And as a matter of fact, it's not using, you know, my deductions. I actually show you by going through the framers and how they defined the Constitution, how they clarified everything along the way, and let you make the decision. And that's what I'm trying to get out of these other organizations and their stonewalling. As a matter of fact, all of these organizations, I think it goes back to 2018 with Tactical Civics. It goes all the way back to 2015 or 2016. Actually, I would even say, because I reached out to a local representative with the John Birch in California, which is around 2013, 2014. And I mean, it's just like, no, we're the big dogs. You have to join us and follow us, because we are a group think, and we will tell you what to think and we'll tell you what to do. And so as I tried to actually say, why don't you guys pick this up? I mean, I wasn't looking for them to, you know, have to pay me or anything. Understanding what we have to do for this movement with Republic Review and creating the movement by petitions, especially today, because I'll admit that in 2017, 2018, I didn't have, you know, other groups were doing petitions, but I realized working with Bob Schultz and so forth, we needed that movement, you know, as the grass movement. And I was really focused on training the legislatures to understand the power that they possessed and what they needed to do. And so as we started pushing and helping these state legislatures, county commissioners, and primarily my focus has been state legislature. Most people go, well, why aren't you working on Congress? Because Congress is the problem. I mean, come on. I could dive into the George Santos, but let me keep focused on this. As I went through this, and as a matter of fact, as these organizations, even the Convention of States, because I actually reached out in 2018 when I delineated Republic Review and I said, pick this apart, prove this wrong. Because what I did was I looked exactly what Madison did. I understand contracts. I understand contract law, worked them for several years of my life. And I looked at this and I go, that's what we need to do. That's exactly what Jefferson did. And the only reason that they didn't go into these details, because back in those days, contract law did not reach the maturity of actually, you know, going by what is written down and everything else. Back in those days, the integrity and the honor of the man meant everything. And we're to follow how it was agreed upon. That's what we proved in the last episode as Paul and I read that letter to John G. Jackson. Madison was clearly pointing to contract law when he said it didn't matter what anybody thought other than the states or the nation at the time of its ratification. How it was stipulated during the ratification is the only thing we need to understand. And the reason why the judges and Marshall himself, as he started moving these implications and redefining the Constitution and what they meant, the terms and definitions that were already pounded out in the ratification debates. that clearly points out that out the gate, it was in 1800, there was a entrenched effort to move us away from the defined understanding, how the states had defined the Constitution. And it was, I'll just say, this was the grand, the secret combinations. This was that huge conspiracy of how to undermine our own constitutional republic. But it was all for a good cause, right? To give government a little more power so it could be more benevolent. And with benevolence comes tyranny, folks, as we see this. So as none of these organizations, and I seriously mean this, even the Convention of States has started a little campaign against Republic Review. And so that's one of the reasons why I created this thorough presentation. I'm done, because all they want to do is they don't want to actually talk about, what to do and what the framers said to do. What they want to do is they want to, we think GR's in this for money. And what hypocrisy is that? I'm hearing this from different organizations. Can you trust a guy that's doing this to get rich? And everybody believes it. Well, you know what? If I'm getting rich from this, I better wake up. I better wake up so I can go to the bank, because, that would really be helpful. And it would help, probably quiet my beautiful bride. But the bottom line is, instead of actually saying, let's pound this out, let's have a televised meeting where we, zero editing, open it up, and we're actually, instead of allowing the conventions, the convention state folks to go off and simulate a convention, hey, how about having the first dialogue first? Let's have that first dialogue like they did in Annapolis, prior to the convention, to say, hey, look, we've got 7 amendments that we've been trying to get, and we can't get them. And we need, this thing to, seriously change before we fall and fail as a union. There were states that were actually, like Massachusetts, the recommendation was let the union fail. We can survive without them. We already read that for you this year. So the fact of the matter is, when we try to actually go down this path and try to have an honest discussion, as soon as people go back to these organizations, what do the organizations say? Oh, well, you can't trust this guy. In other words, what they're doing is they're creating an ad hominem attack. And bottom line, what they're telling you is absolutely irrelevant. They're not saying that Jefferson never said that. Madison didn't want to do that. They can't prove it. This is why, a good friend of mine that I worked with in the Marine Corps and in contracting, he always, the guns is like a bulldog. When he gets his teeth on that bone, he's just not going to let it go. And so, you can kick him, you can do anything, he's not going to let it go. And that's just because, and I've told you this, I do have the desire of being right. I want to be right on this. I've done the thorough research. And it's not that I want to tell these people they're wrong. I'm trying to just get them to broaden their paradigms, shift their focus towards something that will actually solve our problem. I can say this, folks. If every organization united on demanding full compliance of the Constitution, using First Amendment petitions, getting legislation at the county and the state level to demand a full compliance, a full audit, and full accountability, and forcing every government to get into compliance with the U.S. Constitution, more importantly, the federal government first, then we would solve these problems just like that. And I mean that. I seriously mean that. When we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about ad hominem attacks and diversive tactics and so forth. But we will, I'll try to run this down to a close. And then we'll talk about supposedly this Republican. If you want to call him a Republican, well, he has an R next to his name. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that and some other need-to-know news. We'll be right back after this. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, folks, so if somebody comes along, it doesn't have to be me. I mean, when you really look at the convention of state folks, the argument just between the convention of states and the anti-conventionites, they're not talking about the issue. As a matter of fact, the evidence really is, because when you actually go down this path of talking about what really should happen, then it forces you to actually realize that both sides are lying. When the convention state folks tell you, oh, the only thing in the Constitution when it comes to, you know, dealing with overreach and violations is a convention. Absolutely not. It's right there in the First Amendment that we, the people, have to use First Amendment petitions in holding them accountable. And those petitions mount and they grow, and it goes from the petitions of we the people to our county government. And then once our county government gets cleaned up and they actually start petitioning, endorsing these petitions and demand that the state does it. This is the movement, folks. It has to be done in a movement. And God knew this because he understood how dark and evil corruption in government can be and is, and how hard the minds and hearts of these corrupted individuals are. And we will find that we will probably have an easier row to hoe in focusing on the counties. Folks, and this is not even a far reach. Look at every state in the union and tell me how many red counties exist in that state. New York, tell me how many red counties in New York are there to blue counties. You know what? There's more red counties than blue counties. Even in Washington state, even in California, definitely California. Show me one state in the union. It's not that there couldn't be one, like Rhode Island may be actually all blue. You know, all the counties are blue, because that's an outlier, though. Most all the states in this union, the people that live in these counties actually want their government to be in compliance. This is why the Supreme Court did what they did in the early 60s by violating the Constitution and reconfiguring every state in the union, forcing them into a democracy. And this is how your population centers of New York or Indianapolis or Los Angeles and San Francisco rule you, folks. I hope you take advantage of this article when it comes out. Why counties matter most. Because once you understand this, then you'll understand the power of this movement. I would ask you to go and dive into the Medical Freedom Petition. It's Petition 9 on Reclaiming the Republic. If you go look at that petition, you will find at the very last, probably 6, maybe 8 pages, I don't know, but it's kind of long. There's, I think, 8 or 9 stipulations. But we demand that your county not just go to the state, but we demand that once in this petition, we demand that they endorse this petition and call upon the other counties to endorse it as well. In addition, we demand that the county actually establish a constitutional compliance and what we call a constitutional review or a constitutional audit and compliance committee, a voluntary committee made up of members of the community. That each district appoint delegates or members, and this be a voluntary committee, but the county should fund the resources to be used, not Zoom, not some Microsoft. I think that we need to come up with, you know, a better mechanism. Like, yeah, because using Zoom is just allowing China to control us. Why do people continue to use Zoom when it's been out and well publicized that it is owned and it's an asset of the Chinese Communist Party? Huh? Why? Well, the county can fund the, I'll call it the infrastructure, the venue, whatever you want to call it. You know, if it's a small enough county, it's reasonable for everybody to meet once a month or once a week. Or whatever, as far as I'm concerned, it should be daily because we're in the middle of a constitutional crisis, folks. And if you've got really smart people, and guess what? The people that are probably going to be the smartest on the Constitution, because this is not about being representative by demographics. What you want to do is you want to make sure that you nominate those who really understand. Therefore, I would highly recommend, and maybe we need to document this, but a part of the process is to test. Come up with constitutional tests like we should, actually, for our public servants. Because what will end up happening? If we're going to have delegates, we want to make sure that these delegates completely understand, you know, our constitutions and what these guys are going to come in to do in auditing it, then what we will do is we will pave the way to refute the progressives', you know, paradigm of this living constitution. So, as we create this committee, and if you go through all of these steps in here, it pushes everything to the state. Once you go out to the counties, then you go to your state representatives and you call upon them and all of those who are generally, you know, like your state officers, your governor, your lieutenant general, because, you know, they're supposed to be representing everybody. I mean, I don't want to step on toes. I don't believe if your county does not have representation with these, in other words, there's only so many representatives that represent you. And so you need to work within those channels. I'm not an advocate of going out of that, but what we need to do is we need to pressure our representatives to share this with the entire legislature, to actually move and endorse this with the governor and the lieutenant governor. But we should actually petition the governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and everybody else. So when you look at all eight steps, you can see how this is trying to create either an avalanche or actually create this chain reaction, like a nuclear explosion, nuclear, and, because I know that's a pet peeve for a lot of people. It is for me too. But anyways, as we look at how this just explodes and expands and grows, then it starts to eliminate the need for having 100% of the people. We just need a good critical mass in every county to actually start pushing this. And as anybody comes up and says, hey, you can't do that, and then this is where they get educated. And then once they understand the education, they go away. As a matter of fact, they may try to use the court system. And if the court system actually steps in and oversteps their bounds on this as well, then that only proves the case that we need to seriously, you know, redo our court system completely. I'm telling you, folks, our court system, the laws don't need to change. Our court system needs to completely change. And this, you know, this elaborate bar association, all of that, that's got to go. So I'm sure that I'm probably libeling or probably getting close to, you know, that really dangerous zone where people go, you know what? This guy's crazy. We have to shut him up. He's going to ruin everything for us. I don't care about, you know, how hard it's going to be. I do care that if we don't do this, you think it's going to be hard doing this, and you think it'll be hard living with the outcomes of these things, you know, not having government wipe our nose. Well, folks, the alternative, there we go, the alternative will be far worse. Because once the government contains full control, the Alien Sedition Acts are nothing. I mean, look at how Nazi Germany basically implemented the Alien and Sedition Acts, right? They started alienating people that weren't real Germans, the Jews, and killing them. Look at how, you know, just the 200-some years ago, the Alien Sedition Acts in 1798 were passed, and that was the first step of going towards draconian measures, and how they could have easily been implemented, just like how they were implemented in the Chinese Communist Party back in Mao days, or Stalin, so forth and so on. Lenin, I mean, these guys were ruthless tyrants. Napoleon. It didn't have to be just a communist. It didn't have to be just Nazi. Look at what Napoleon, look what happened in France. You know, they chopped everybody's heads off that they didn't like. So, I mean, you know, they even killed church members. I mean, church leadership. They killed off the church. They wanted a godless society. And they wanted everybody to become informed on what they, how to think and how, you know, they're to behave. And had it not been for Napoleon Bonaparte, saved them. I think the death toll in France would have been far worse had Napoleon not risen to power. And so the fact of the matter is, what Napoleon did and what Aristotle talks about in, you know, how campaigns are ran, it has been proven effective that by using ad hominem attacks and by using demagoguery, that's how people rise to power. Go read Aristotle's Politics. Go read that book. It's not that hard of a read. And right there, he talks about the success of demagogues. Now, demagogues are ones that complain. They complain about this. They complain about this person. And they use personal attacks. What we're talking about in using these petitions, what we're talking about in using, you know, this movement is actually complaining about the violations of the Constitution. But see, the difference between a demagogue and a champion is a champion has a well-mapped out plan. This is what we will do. We're going to get rid of these jobs. We're going to allow you to do these things. We're going to allow the states to have their powers and allow the counties to have more power. Actually, the counties will have almost all the power. Our state government should be a general government, limited and defined, just like the federal government. But when we started building states, they quickly started basically dissolving the standards of build, you know, contributing and building this union. For whatever reason, there's lots of little reasons that we could go into. But the fact of the matter is, when I look at these organizations that we're working with, the ad hominem attack that they use is primarily a diversion tactic, either to unjustifiably shift the burden of proof to something else or someone else in the discussion, or to change the topic altogether. The ad hominem attack involves the faulty premise that an attack against the source of an argument necessarily constitutes a successful refutation. In other words, they've refuted the argument because we successfully attacked the source. That's an ad hominem attack. In other words, folks, That is an emotional attack. That is an attack that has no logic or reason. It's not based on the discussion. It's not based on the facts. As you, if you're involved, and let's just work this through. Let's just say a tactical civics organization, you know, local organization comes along and that, you know, they've got this growth. They've got this momentum. All of a sudden, somebody in the fray starts getting excited about First Amendment petitions. And then they come in and say, hey, let's start doing this. You know, this will lead us to Republic Review. And then that person will go, huh, I've never heard of this. This is completely new to me. How come I don't know about this? So they'll go up the chain and talk to the head of the machine. And whoever is in charge of tactical civics, I know his name, but I won't say it. Whoever's in charge will actually direct, because they won't actually talk to him. They may talk to him, but what they'll do is they have a process that they'll just basically direct. Because this actually happens with other organizations. They'll actually direct that person to say, that guy is making money. He's just trying. He's just pandering. There's nothing there. You know, in other words, they're not attacking it. They attack me and they get people to actually look at, you know, false information, or do they assert false information to basically get people to quickly dismiss at hand instead of actually investigating for themselves. And actually, what the smartest thing you can do, folks, when you get conflicting information, what you want to do is you want to ask everybody to the table and actually say, you know what? This is going to take a little while. So we need to have some meetings because we need to get to the bottom of this. If you're in a local community, and you have, it doesn't matter if it is the COS, it doesn't matter if it's the John Birch Society, Eagle Forum, it doesn't matter who it is. Now, I will tell you that I've actually had support, by the way, from the old guard Eagle Forum. They've looked at what I said, and you know why? You know why? They actually believe that the Republic Review is a very good, tangible, you know, option. As a matter of fact, the Constitution Party, many other organizations, Republican Party of Wyoming, have actually looked at this and go, you know, we can't refute this. And actually, this helps solve, you know, whether we convene a convention or not, because they actually did the due diligence. There's the word right there. Nobody wants you. Nobody uses that term anymore. Due diligence. Why do they not want you to apply due diligence? Because it won't give them their desired outcome. Now, the reason why, let me go down this, the old guard of Eagle Forum. In talking to Orlene Kolk, who I've actually had Orlene Kolk on this show, and I still have her information. She sold a book that I highly recommend. And the book is still on my website. That's Whoa Nelly, you know, we got to stop 5G. I'd have to look it up, and I'm not doing it justice, but it's a great book. I've read it. I've actually learned a lot of information that has been suppressed regarding, you know, are the danger of our network, or I should say our wireless network, and what the heck they're doing to us, folks. And why are they suppressing this information? Why are they throwing us under the bus? Anyway, in talking to Orlene, she basically, I said, you know, I'm not surprised because you seem like a real reasonable person, but why is it that you guys don't find this as a threat? And she says, well, we're not based solely on being your provider of information on the Constitution. Our focus is actually, you know, more home and family based. Now, the new guard has kind of walked away from some of that. They will tell you that they haven't, but, you know, this is why they're actually going down these empty corridors of supporting the Convention of States. Now, I'm not trying to create an ad hominem. I'm actually going to go through and prove to you how the convention, Article 5 convention, will not fix anything. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go through all, I'm going to spend more time going through the facts as I go through this argument with you that I couldn't actually get away with in doing a presentation to you over the, you know, course of 1 hour. because you've got to read these amendments that people are talking about. You know, the Liberty Amendments, and we're actually going to put them to test. Will that really solve the problem? And I'm going to actually prove to you that almost all of them will make the problem worse. Wow. I'll prove this to you. I'll also prove to you next week that single state nullification only makes the problem worse. It does not solve the problem. So why is it any organization would do that? Why, even the Eagle Forum is recommending that. And I think that's more because of their long-term partnership. Because I do have presidents that say, yeah, we actually should use Republic Review. But I believe that the ad hominem attacks from JBS into the Eagles Forum has kind of made it so that I've been dismissed. And I've got a pile of evidence that I'd love to come forward where I see folks that are, you know, supposedly independent but directly dependent on money going on their speaking circuits with the John Birchers and saying, you know what, I've actually got communication. I'm getting a lot of feedback and flack about working with you. And then all of a sudden they stop working with me. Folks, it's not a coincidence. Now, okay, they're having these pirates. You understand a pirate's victory? A victory that's so costly that you can't even claim you won because you actually end up losing as well. And those people who are actually convincing people to shut up and not have an open, honest dialogue regarding this national crisis of the Constitution that has been going on and only getting worse and worse and worse. The only way that they believe, it is their paradigm that they lose relevance if we solve the problem. And that's true. If you don't have any other depth, Sean Hannity, what is he going to do? Glenn Beck, what is he going to do? Other than if we actually solve the problem and government, the United States government gets into, you know, really what's going on, it will change completely the narrative of, you know, what we're doing as citizens. I mean, you're going to be able to go to work without having to worry about your government somewhat. Except the government in your county, because now that your county is going to have all those powers, it's going to be shifted. Now, let me ask you this. How well will Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and the rest of these people be able to keep you apprised of what's going on in all 3,000 some odd counties? See, that's the problem. That's why it's so great. We've got this national stage. Everybody's all looking at this, and it makes it easy because I can put it all on one picture because it's one little battlefield. It's in one location. It's right there in D.C. Now, when we start spreading this out to all 50 states, that gets a little bit more tactically, you know, perplexing. How do we do that? Now, when we shift it down to the counties, it's impossible. This will actually revitalize radio. Because now people will actually use radio to understand and hear what the heck's going on in your county. Because what's going on in your county will really matter because that's where the power of government should be. And that's where it's going to be when we succeed. So, folks, I know this is actually taking the whole show. But bottom line, it is just frustrating with me that, you know, I know that many of these people, some of them, are their hearts are in dark areas. They're not. Some of the people that have made these decisions, you know what? I'm a very forgiving person. I don't care. Let's put it aside. You don't even have to come and apologize. Let's start working together. That's the Christian thing to do. And I'm telling you, folks, this is why the framers were blessed. You can't tell me that they weren't divided, but they weren't playing these shenanigans of ad hominem attacks. Those things didn't fly back in those days. What we're dealing with today is, you know, absolutely just stupid. It's childish. It just proves the lack of maturity in what's going on. And it also proves a lack of leadership because I go right back to what does a good manager do? They do what they're told. And I feel really sorry for some of these managers that actually, you know, because this has happened. I've had a manager working in one of these organizations, and I saw their name, and I actually tell people before they turn, I say, this person's going to be told otherwise, and they're going to turn. Watch. And that's exactly what they do, because they don't question the information that comes from on high. They have that type of control. We are a group think, and you will do what you're told, or we will replace you. I'm telling you, folks, I don't care how good that organization is. Either they shape up or they ship out. We don't have room in our ranks for that type of dissent, and we don't have room in our ranks for, you know, any of these types of tactics. We've got to pull it together. We're just losing time. It's now or never. And the fact is, I still see this from 2015, 8 years later. And in Appleton, they're snickering, going, ha, 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 we got more people fooled in believing us and sticking it to him. Like they're affecting my wallet. They're not affecting my wallet. Folks, I'm not making any money. I don't peddle anything here. My articles are for free. These petitions are for free. My time is for free. Now, when I start, if I go into the state legislature because they need, you know, advisement, or they want me to be a part of a committee to help, then I believe I should be compensated for that, because that's what they would do. And that's, you know, the framers didn't do everything for free. But when it came to saying the right things and trying to do everything, I'm actually doing far more than what they did for free. I mean, those guys who went to the Constitutional Convention, they were compensated. Every meeting when they went to represent their states, they were being compensated. When they're standing up in front of you, it's not like they were making it rich. They weren't getting, you know, a draw on all, and the people weren't paying to attend these events. It was all for the necessity and for the prosperity of our society. They were doing it because it was the right thing to do. And that's where we need to move. That's where you need to start thinking too. You need to start understanding that you have to contribute. Because if we succeed, we're going to need you in your county government. Everybody. And as a matter of fact, this will literally change what we call jury duty to civil service. So that, you know, it won't just be jury duty that will be expected of people. Everybody will need to contribute and participate in most of these committees. You'll be compensated for your travel and a stipend for your time, but that's it, just like jury duty. Because this is a self-government. It's like being a part of the militia as well. We all have these responsibilities. We restore this republic. We go down this path of creating a self-government where we have all of these controls, folks. You won't recognize how safe and secure and what a blessing it is in living a life like that. We got to end the nanny state. We got to end everybody wanting to control us. And we have the power to do that. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.